Eternal Father, for the sake of the death and resurrection of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
glory to Jesus. Praise God. So usually today in the Catholic world, Thomas will be trending. Uncle Thomas will be trending today. And he'll be trending for the wrong reason. We have come to associate him with doubt. So if anybody doubts anything, you call the person doubting Thomas. But that would be very unfair to the character and the person of Thomas if you look at him from the prism of doubt. You will lose every other positive, and I mean more positive things about Thomas. So, I do not see Thomas as a doubting disciple. I see him as a very unique disciple. First of all, let's look at other things we can learn from Thomas before we even talk about the doubt. The gospel says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So, the disciples shut themselves in the house because of what? Fear of the Jews. But Thomas was not there. So what does that tell you? Thomas was not afraid. So among all the disciples of Jesus, among the 11, the only person who was not scared, I don't know where he went to. Maybe he went to the market and all of that. While others were quarantining themselves, they were not told to quarantine themselves. That time there was no need for social distancing. All of them locked themselves by themselves for fear of the Jews. So Thomas is unique. He was the only one who was not there. If you read John 11, before Jesus went to raise Lazarus, there is a famous statement Thomas made there, because Jesus going to raise Lazarus at that point in time was dangerous. He was going towards Jerusalem where they were looking for him to kill him. It was a dangerous journey. And the disciples remember that. And I'm sure they were all reluctant, but it was Thomas who said, let us go with him and die with him. That is a statement of courage too. So you can single Thomas out for courage. He was not locked. But the first thing I want us to see here through Thomas is what fear can do in our lives. He said they locked themselves for fear of the Jews. Now, notice that at this point, the Jews were not chasing the apostles yet. The Jews were not interested in the apostles. It was not the Jews that gathered the apostles, arrested them, and put them in a house and locked them up. No, it was the apostles themselves that locked themselves by themselves because they were afraid of people who were not even chasing them yet. That's one of the dangers of fear. It can make you run when nobody is chasing you. It can even make you harm yourself when what you are scared of hasn't even come near you yet. No wonder we are told in the scripture that this phrase, do not be afraid, occurred 365 times. Do not be afraid. It occurred 365 times, meaning that God is telling you every day of the year, do not be afraid. It is like one of the most frequently used phrase or expression by God. Anybody God came to, the first thing would always be, do not be afraid. Mary, do not be afraid. Gideon, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear is dangerous. Fear is the other side of faith. It's the negative side of faith. What you believe will control you. And what you fear will also do what? Control you. So the apostles, I want you to take note that they locked themselves. The Jews were not after them. In fact, the Jews will not be after the apostles until after the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes. That's when the Jews and persecution will come. And interestingly, when the Jews now started chasing them and persecuting them, they were no longer running. In Acts chapter 5, you read the whole this thing, you will see it there. The Bible says they were arrested. They were warned, don't preach this man's name. Peter said, tell us, so should we obey you or we should obey God? They were flogged and sent away. And the Bible says they were glad to have suffered for the Lord. Now, at the point when they were being chased, they were not running. But at this point, they were not chasing them, but they were doing what? Running. Because of what? Fear. I remember the story, funny story of a madman who was chasing people in the village. Everybody was running. A madman was chasing people. People were running. And among the people running was one man who had problem with one leg. He had just one leg. He was using clutches. He too was struggling to run. He was running like others. Just that he couldn't run as fast as the others. So the madman ran to him and stopped him and said, Oga, what is the problem? He said, calm down. See, every other person here who is running has two legs. I am only interested in those who have two legs. I'm not interested in you, so don't kill yourself. Calm down. Let me catch those who have two legs first before I will start with those who don't have two legs. Sometimes we are like that. We are running when nothing is chasing us. So fear can make you to become your own greatest enemy. They locked themselves in, locked themselves out. So the question today is, what has fear made you and I to lock ourselves out of? Or where has fear imprisoned you and I? Where has fear made you to imprison yourself? We need to think about it again. The Jews were not after them, but they were afraid and they locked themselves up. They locked themselves up. There are things that can make us lock ourselves up. Fear is one of them. So the Bible says, do not be afraid. Okay? Do not be afraid. David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no evil will I fear, because God is there. Like I said, the COVID-19 we are battling, the virus itself, there are many people who have hurt themselves even when the virus has not come near them because of fear. Out of fear, some people have taken chloroquine and ended in the hospital. They didn't even have the virus. The virus has not come, but they took chloroquine in order to stop the virus that hasn't come. And now they have hurt themselves. I had to counsel somebody who was like one of our parishioners, a lady. What is your problem? Father, I can't sleep. I am coughing. I said, okay, go to the hospital. I was very sure it was fear. You know, fear can make even normal cough that you used to have before. When you cough, you begin to suspect yourself. Fear can make you to begin to have the symptoms of what you are scared of, even when it is not there. And it is real, because fear is real. And fear is powerful. Fear is powerful. So, we must not. David said, though I walk, there are shadows of darkness, but I will not be afraid. Psalm 91, verse 5. He said, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor this plague that prowls in the darkness, nor the scourge that lays waste at noon. You should not be afraid, because why? The Lord is your shelter. Those who call the Lord their shelter, their stronghold, should not be afraid. The only fear that is held is the fear of God. So Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah? Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord increases your lifespan. 14:27, it says that the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Then same Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man is a trap. Just like the apostles trapped themselves, it's a snare. So what are you scared of? So many Christians are scared of things they shouldn't be scared of. I will come into that pretty soon. What are you scared of? You're scared of things you shouldn't be scared of. You see a black cat in the night. Oh, you begin to perspirate. You begin to shake and stuff like that. So do not be afraid. The apostles locked themselves. Where have you locked yourselves? There are some things that can make you lock yourself by yourself. Doubt can make you lock yourself. Some people have locked themselves perpetually in the room of sadness because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness has made you to lock yourself in the room of sadness. Whenever you see this person or you remember what the person has done to you, you are perpetually sad. You don't want to come out of it because you locked yourself. Not another person did that to you. So Thomas was a courageous person. He was not there. So then, when Jesus came, another thing we should notice about Thomas, that Thomas was not the only person who needed to see. He said, until I see these things, I will not believe. It was not like he was even different from the other apostles. They too saw before they believed. Okay, look at that gospel message again. It says, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. There was no reaction from them. They were still looking. Then he said, the Bible said, when he had said this, he showed them his hand. He did what? He showed them. So they had to see. It was when he showed them his hands and his side, then the Bible said, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So they were not even different from Thomas. Sometimes we think we are different from others. We are not too different too. All of us are the same. Now the same thing, the warriors. They were not different from Thomas, they saw. In fact, if you read the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, Mark makes it very clear. The women told them, but they refused to believe. Then when Jesus came, the Bible said Jesus was even like quarreling them for refusing to believe from the witnesses of the women, all of them. So Thomas here is more like a dramatic representation of the entire disciples. So Jesus had to show them. There too they saw. So Thomas was not the only one. All right. So Thomas's biggest problem here, his first problem is not doubt. His first problem is absence. He was absent. If you read the first reading, the Bible says that the group of believers were faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to fellowship. He was absent. That was his biggest problem. He was absent. Sometimes when we are absent from fellowship of brethren, we can miss what God has for us that day. That's why the Bible says, in Hebrews 12, says, do not give up the habit of meeting together. We will not give up the habit of meeting together. So his first problem was absence. Some parents are absent from the life of their children. Some fathers are absent. Totally absent from the life of your children. You don't spend quality time with them. Okay? You wake up very early when they are still asleep. And then you come back late when they are asleep. There was a man like that. So the day he made a mistake and came back home early enough, around 6, 7, before the children slept, he knocked on his door. And one of his children opened the door, looked at him strangely and said, Oga, who are you looking for? It occurred to the man that he was a stranger to his children. Some people are practically absent from the life of their children. Some parents are, and it is not right. If, as a mother, your daughter cannot tell you what she is comfortable telling another person, you just know that there is absence. And all those delicate things about life, when your daughters and your sons are becoming, moving from childhood to, is it adults with puberty and things like that? If your daughter cannot tell you that her uncle touched her sexually, just know that you are absent as a parent. If your son cannot tell you, know that you are absent from his life. So we need to be more present than we are. It's good to make money and all that, but we should create time. And probably that's why some people are saying maybe this lockdown is some kind of blessing in disguise. For the first time now, some children are seeing their parents. I hope that after the lockdown, when this whole disease thing goes, maybe once in a year, the Nigerian government should declare 2 days of lockdown on a weekday. No work, no travel. Everybody should stay. I think it's going to help family values. So Thomas was absent. Let's not be absent when we should be present. Okay, so Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. Then 8 days later, lucky for him. That's why today is Divine Mercy Sunday. Lucky for him. Jesus was merciful. He came back again. I'm sure Jesus came back 8 days later specifically because of Thomas. Here we see Jesus restoring lost opportunity. So I pray for you as you watch, as you listen, as you participate. Every lost opportunity in your life, may the Lord restore back again in the name of Jesus Christ. He restored opportunity for Thomas. He was not obliged. But I'm sure he came back because of Thomas, because of Thomas. I pray for you. May God come back because of you in the name of Jesus Christ. So he came. Because of Thomas. That is mercy. That's why today is Mercy Sunday too. That God will restore all our lost opportunities. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 8 says, for the years of misfortune, 61 from verse 7, for the years of misfortune, I will give you double portion. In other words, I will restore what you have lost. So we pray for restoration. Even this month, this period that this disease has taken away, what would have been our economic fortune? We pray that at the end of it, our God will restore in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So the Lord returned back to Thomas to clear his doubt. Now, like I said, Thomas's doubt can be regarded in the philosophical circle as methodic doubt. And we need it sometimes. Oh, yes. Thomas said, if I do not see, no, no, Thomas said, if I don't see enough evidence, I will not believe. And I think that Christians, in fact, it is better to have somebody who is honest in doubting than somebody who is gullible in believing. And many Christians are gullible. They are not believers. There's a difference between a believer and a gullible person. Many Christians need to apply the Thomas kind of that sometimes. It's not everything you hear you believe. Why? Because belief is very powerful. Faith is very powerful, like I said. It's just like fear. Faith can control you. What you believe in will control you. So be slow to believe anything without verifying as much as you can. Even God will not be angry with you if you are honest, searching for the right thing before you believe. Somebody will wake up and come and tell you, hey, I had a dream. In the dream, the spirit took me to hell, and I saw all those who were in hell. Michael Jackson was in hell. Idi Amin, saw him there. Abacha, I saw him. Some even see their enemies who have not died yet. Obi to serve, he's there. I saw his seat. They are waiting for him. I saw Pope John Paul II. I saw this Pope. I saw that Pope. And the reason is because they say the rosary. They have statues, idols in their church. I saw it. The Spirit revealed it to me. And because you are gullible, you will believe. We have a video of Pope Francis that is circulating now. A doctored video of Pope Francis making confession that he is the Antichrist. And people are believing it. That's the kind of Christians you have. Very gullible. It is because of them that St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, I don't understand you. He said, another preacher, a fake pastor, a fake minister, a fake apostle, we just have to come and preach a different Christ than the one we preach to you, and you will readily accept. Forgetting that even the devil can come as an angel of light. We need more Christians with a bit more of the Thomas methodic doubt. You don't believe it. Believe is very, listen, you can accept something without believing it. Because once he enters belief, no more questioning. You can accept something without believing it. I am not a Muslim. Muslims believe that Muhammad is the last prophet. Abi? And it is through Muhammad that you get to God. That is their belief. If I'm having a conversation with a Muslim person now, I will accept it. But with all due respect, I don't believe. I will accept it out of respect, reverence for what you believe, but me, I don't believe. Because if I were to believe, that means I am bound by what binds you as a Muslim. Same thing with a Christian. We profess that God is one, but three persons. Abi? A Muslim can accept that, but he doesn't have to believe. Because if he believes in the Trinity, that means he is bound to worship Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But they don't do that. So he can accept what the Christian believe, but he's not under obligation to do what? To believe. If it so happens that after discussion, God decides to give him the faith of the Christian and he comes to believe and changes, that's a good thing and stuff like that. So I mustn't believe what I accept. But what I believe, I do what? I accept. That is where many Christians make mistakes. Once you believe what you believe, you give it power over your life. So when they tell you that black cat is a sign of, it's a demon, Abby. In your house now, you see a black cat in the night. Some people have been told that is bad luck is coming. Or when you hear the cry of an owl, it means that the witches have congregated around your house. Or when you dream and you eat in your dream, it's a sign of what? Demonic manipulation. Something bad. Or you are walking on the road. Those days when we were growing up, you say, when you are walking on the road and you march, you hit your foot on a stone, Abby. It's a sign of what? Even simple biological things. When you sneeze now, somebody is calling you from the village. That's why when some people sneeze, they will say, blood of Jesus. Because they don't know who is calling them at the village. You believe all these things, they will control your life. Some people have been told, if you sweep at night, you are sweeping away wealth. These are people I have had to counsel. I have seen a paper. Somebody was giving a paper from a ministry she went. They told her the things she should be avoiding, she shouldn't be doing. One of them is, don't sweep your house at night. You are sweeping away wealth. And it's poor people that usually believe this thing. They say, don't look at mirror in the night. If you look at mirror in the night, you are attracting demons. They say, don't sleep like this. They gave her some position she must not sleep. And she believed. Many Christians are very gullible. They are superstitious. They don't have faith. Well, many Christians, what they have is they are superstitious. They do not have faith. So be careful what you believe. Be careful what you believe. Once you believe that thing, the Bible here says, all these things were written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life. You have the basic things to believe in Christianity before you begin to believe any other new thing that somebody is bringing. You have to question it. You have to question, and like I said, what you believe, we just start following you. I have, this is a personal encounter with a woman in my former parish. She came to meet me. Obviously, it has now got to her neck. What happened? In her compound, I think about three or four neighbors had lost their children at a point or the other. So one of the neighbors that had lost a child brought a man of God to come and pray. And she was in her room. This Catholic woman was in her room. And then she was hearing prayer. The loud, the many amen. She said she decided to go and join. And then in the course of the prayer, after the whole prayer, the man of God now faced her and said, woman, I know you. Your husband traveled, right? No, she joined that prayer once. Then the next time the man came, she also came and joined. So after the prayer, now prophecy on her head started. Say, your husband traveled. She said, yes. Say, your husband is going to have accident. We need to pray. Your husband will have accident. We need to pray. And truthfully, the husband traveled. After that whole episode, sometime within the day, the husband actually called. He had accident. He had an accident, though nothing happened to him. His car was just damaged. So from that moment, she became a disciple of that man of God, because the man told her what will happen, and it happened. So obviously, I think it was when she was tired of bringing the things she was told to bring that she now came to me. And I said, why did you? He said, but Father, he told me that my husband will have accident, and my husband had accident. And I told her, yes, that is the problem. You are the cause of your husband actually having accident. It would have been a coincidence, or it was not meant to happen. But because you believed what he said, you believed the negative things to your husband. I said, in the first place, the man of God, in quotes, came to pray for people who had lost their children. Have you lost any of your children? No. So why did you go? Gullibility. Once it's prayer, it doesn't matter. It's prayer. Let us join. You believe the wrong thing, it will tie down your life. You believe that a rope is a snake, now it becomes a snake. So Christians must be a bit more discreet like Thomas and stop believing all manner of things. So many things are coming. Oh, I'm even hearing that there was time. I didn't even know why we were dealing with the controversy of the 5G and all of this technology. I was even told that when television came out newly, Sheikh Christian said that television was the box of the devil. And they believed it. So what, how much more are you going to believe? In fact, for some Christians, you need detoxification. There are toxic beliefs in your life that are killing you. Toxic beliefs. If they are not out of fear, they are out of ignorance or false deceit. Toxic beliefs. Some of you believe that the reason you are poor is because of your ancestors. What your ancestors did. What did your ancestors do? They say your ancestors killed. What of the white people who killed our own people, came and took our people as slaves? Why is the ancestors not following them? Wrong belief. Please don't believe anything because a man of God said it. What you are supposed to believe are all there in the scripture. You are not married. You believe it's a spirit husband or wife that is against you. There is no end to it. Believe in what the scripture has revealed. The Bible says in verse 1 that they were faithful to the teachings of the apostles. Be faithful to the teachings of the apostles. And it is there. It is very clear. Add nothing, subtract nothing. So mercifully, Jesus came back for Thomas and showed him everything. And Thomas saw. And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He believed. Sometimes God will make you see to believe. In Isaiah 43, he said, open your eyes and see, I'm doing a new thing. So when you need a miracle to strengthen your faith, may God give you a miracle. When you need divine healing to strengthen your faith, may God give you divine healing. When you need any sign that will make your life better and strengthen your faith, may God give it to you. That is also part of what we read in the first reading, that the apostles, through them, God worked so many signs and many people came to believe. Finally, in the first reading, the Bible says that the Christians had everything in common and distributed them all, and nobody was in need. That is a powerful message to us, modern day Christians, that nobody in the Acts of the Apostles community or church lacked anything. Not because they had billionaires those days or millionaires. In fact, that was when the church was very poor. So contrast it. Why is it that it's now that the church is rich, that you have more people in want in the church? But when the church was poor, everybody was okay. It's a challenge to us that we need to revise, we need to retrace our steps and think about how to reach out to the needs of others. The apostles did not hold breakthrough service. They did not hold anointing service to break poverty. Yet nobody was in need. In fact, they did not even pray For those who are in need, they did something. The Bible says faith without good work is what? Is there. And what did they do? They shared, they distributed. That's what we need to do more as church. The church should not be a warehouse or a bank where we deposit fortunes while people are out there. That we must learn from the Acts of the Apostles Church. Okay? Today, men of God want to do the miracle of multiplication. Matthew 14, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and, is it 2 fish? And fed more people. That was multiplication. That's what many of us are trying to do today as men of God. But that's not what the apostles did. We are not Jesus. We can't do that. You can't multiply loaves anymore. But you can distribute by sharing. Or you can multiply by distribution. That's what the Lord is calling us to do as a church. We must find a way of making those in need have the basic things of life. You know, it is not right that the church is richer now and more people are in need. Whereas when the church was very poor, those who were in need were catered for. I think it is time for us as Christians to examine our mode of oppression. You know, you call 20,000 people to come for prayer for job, and then the job opportunity comes, maybe say 10 slots, and then you have more than 5,000 people and you gather them to pray. Are you going to multiply the job opportunity? There are some things that prayer cannot solve. That's just the truth. God does not accept you to pray when you should be acting. We should rather deal with the greed and the laziness that are responsible for the major lack in our world. The greed and the laziness that those who have want to have more. They are not sharing. And today is Mercy Sunday. Luke chapter 6 says, be merciful as your heavenly Father. One of the corporal works of mercy is to feed the hungry. Abby, feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. So today, the Lord is calling us back to the early church to do as they did. We should be our brother's keeper, share what we have. Ephesians 4:28 say, no more stealing. Rather, everybody should go look for something and do so that you can have to contribute to the feeding of the poor. So we pray that the Lord Jesus, who was merciful enough to come back for the sake of Thomas, will be merciful to us. Help us to be more generous than we are, to reach out to those who are in need. Remove the vices of greed and laziness from us. And that the message of mercy, as revealed to Saint Faustina, will continue to traverse the length and the breadth of this world. If governments in the world become more merciful than they are, I am telling you that many of the problems, especially the problems of lack and poverty, will be reduced to the highest minimum level. If they were to be as merciful as the Lord expects us to be, things will be better. So we pray that as we seek God's mercy and receive God's mercy, we too will be channels of God's mercy. We should be merciful to the sick, merciful to the poor, merciful to the orphan, merciful to the homeless. And may the mercy of the Lord continue to be upon us through Christ our Lord. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,